1 Peter 3, 1 to 7. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands, then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and relevant lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty and fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, and beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. In the same way, your husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift, new life. Treat her as you should. Your prayers will not be hindered. Thank you.
Thank you. So I want to widen the circle a little bit. Yes, this has got some very good things to say about being unselfish in your marriage relationships. How do we do that? I think Peter's got some great things to say about that. And it's not just to husbands and wives. I think it's to all of us everywhere we go. How do we move along in life and be, well, unselfish instead of selfish? And I think our net programming is to be very selfish, to care about ourselves, to get captured in life with our own lives, with our own agenda, with our own likes and dislikes. And, well, Peter is challenging us to set that egocentric way of living aside. And we all know this if we've been married. If you don't do that, you're not going to have a happy marriage. If both spouses are selfish, well, you're in for a wild ride, right? You won't have harmony in your relationship if you don't serve one another. And I think that attitude of service, well, it should spill over and ought to exist in all of our relationships. So let's get started. Why not be a selfless person? What's the advantages of being unselfish? Peter says the first is that unselfishness is really the secret to our change. It's the secret to our change. Can we think more about someone else than we can ourselves? Here's how he puts it in verse 1. Your godly lives will speak to them without any words. Wow. Have we thought about what our life says to other people? In fact, it's interesting when you understand communication from one person to another, you realize that the words you choose are only a very small part of your whole communication. The larger part of your communication is your facial expression, your body language, the rate of the words that you use, how loudly or how softly you use them. Well, that communicates a lot, even more than the specific words that we choose. I believe that being unselfish is the secret to our change, and it's the secret to my change as a person. Now, how do I know that? Well, pick the person in your mind's eye right now. Just beam up the picture of the person that has made the biggest impact in you in your life. And you're allowed to go back all the way down to your childhood, but who's made a positive add into your life? Who's made a positive impact in your life? And as you bring up the picture of that person, not all the time, but most of the time, that is a person who has taught you in one way or another to be more servant-oriented, more unselfish, more concerned about someone else. I was at dinner the other night, and the woman that sat next to me, we were talking about, you know, who taught us things. This message was in my mind. You know, how did we learn certain things? And she told me a great story of when she first went to work. She was working away and used an ethnic slur right in front of her boss, who was of that ethnicity. Her boss said to her, "Do you know what you just said?" And here's the great line. "No." "No. What did I say? Did I say something wrong?" And what was very evident in the conversation now, many years later, she realized that she had learned a little phrase that was not an appropriate phrase. And lucky for her, the manager that she worked with could see the honesty in her eyes, that she really actually did not understand that what she just said was really an ethnic slur. And he, you know, kind of brought her alongside and taught her why, well, this is what this really means. You know, as soon as she understood it, she knew that that was not the right thing to say. That was not a loving thing. That was not a Christian thing to say to someone else. And here we are, almost 55 years after that experience, and it still had a positive impact in her. People who have an impact on us are the ones who are pushing us out of our self-centered, our comfortable self-centered circle. And we appreciate that. We appreciate it when it's been brought to us in an easy way, and honestly, we appreciate it in the end, even if it came a little hard and a little blunt. It pushed us pretty hard. It rocked us for a little while. But in the end, it's been very good for us. It's been very good for our stability and our stability of relationships with other people. I believe that if we can be unselfish, that positive change is going to happen in our life. Positive change is going to happen in all of our relationships, especially our marriage relationships. Now, you might be the person that says, "Well, change is not easy for me. Change is not easy for me." And what's great is you don't have to change a lot to change a lot. It's amazing how little changes, little course corrections, a little change of attitude, a little change of thinking, a little change of behavior, a little change made over time, well, it really does multiply, doesn't it? And here's a great illustration. 3 times 3 times 3 times 3 is 243. Change those numbers just a little bit. Change them from 3 to 4, and look what happens. 4 times 4 times 4 times 4 is 1,024. Much bigger than the multiplication of 3 times 3 times 3 times 3. And we often give up on the idea that we're really going to change as a person because we think, "Oh, wow, I can't change that much." You know, some are repelled from the Christian faith when they realize, "Oh, you mean I got to give up leadership of my life to Jesus? And I have to become more like the person in the Bible. By the way, please become more like the person in the Bible. Okay, your spouse brought you here so that you become more like the person in the Bible. It's a little scary to some people. The idea that now somehow I have to get outside of my selfish circle. And we're a little afraid of change. Oh, I'll never be a good representative of Jesus. I'll never do this right, so why get started in the first place? And the invitation of Jesus and my invitation is don't get worried about the end result. Jesus will take care of that, won't he? You know, in the end, when you die and you go to heaven, you will be sanctified completely. You'll be glorified. You'll be glorious. All we need to really do is, take it one day at a time. One day at a time, one issue at a time, one relationship at a time. And a little change over time makes a big difference. Now, why should we be unselfish people? We need to be unselfish people because being selfish actually hinders our prayer life. It moves us out of position to really have the kind of communication with God we really need. Peter puts it this way: treat her and others as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to pray when you're really upset with someone else? Sure you have. Sure you have. And I know I'm like you. If I'm upset, it's like those prayers are hitting the ceiling and they're coming right back down on me. And the more I pray, the more I realize what? Uh-oh. Guess who needs change in this moment? I do. It's not about the change that needs to happen in that other person. And I do hope that Jesus will get to them and soon. But in that moment, it's really more about me. I have to get my own heart, mind, and soul in alignment before I can really, well, in the church we call it interceding for someone else. Before I can really pray about someone else for someone else. And none of us are perfect. I need worship just like you do. I've been going 60 different places, and as I made my way here this morning, I sat in my office for a moment and I said, yeah, I'm going to really need worship today. I need a little focusing. I need a little centering. I need a little reflection about where, you know, I got to put the litmus paper in my own soul first and figure out where I am this morning. And that really happens best for me. It happens great on a Sunday morning worship. Come to worship, I get oriented, I get a picture of how much Jesus loves me and where he wants to take me, what he wants me to say, what he wants you to hear this morning. So we should realize that we should be unselfish, because when we're selfish, remember, the smallest package in the world is a person who's all wrapped up with themselves. Right? And it didn't come from Amazon. And so we have to kind of unwrap that selfishness and realize what's going on with us. And that is a great prayer for another person now. I'm centered on Jesus, and I've evaluated myself, and now I'm ready to pray a prayer, even if I'm really mad at them. even if they've really hurt me, even if they've really been unfair, now I'm in a position to pray that prayer to a good end. Oh yeah, be honest. God can take it. It's okay to say, you know, I'm mad at them, I'm hurt by them. Because once we give voice to those real feelings, now the Holy Spirit's got you. And he's going to take those feelings and he's going to move them in a way that will ultimately, what? Bring healing. Healing to you. Healing to them. Healing to the relationship. You never know. But if you'll go in an unselfish direction, you'll know. You'll know. Now, how do we do that? Peter's got some pretty good things for us to do. Number one, the great thing about being unselfish is it positions you to really understand another person. In the same way, verse 7, treat your wife and others with an understanding as you live together. You know, it's really not easy to understand another person. And I'm sorry, I'm a guy, I feel like I'm at a disadvantage in this relationship thing, ladies. Okay, because just about the time my linear sequential brain gets everything all lined up, for some reason, things change. Oh, okay. So that and I get it all linear sequentially figured out and figure out how, and guess what? It changes. So we need to understand. How do you know if you're really trying to understand another person? Number one, you're attentive to them. Attentive to them. Guys, attentive to her. When I do weddings, that's one of the comments I make to most newlyweds, is really study your mate. Why do you have to study your mate? Because you want to give your mate the male or the female version of what you like. Have you noticed that? I want to give gifts that I really want to get to my spouse. Well, you got to really like this because I like it. And I got it for you in a color you would like. And guys, trust me, it doesn't matter what color the exercise bike is that you gave her at Christmas time. You know, when we were at Black Friday, she noticed that and commented on it. I was studying. I mentally went, okay, exercise bike. Okay? I learned, yeah. Not an exercise bike, guys. Please don't make that mistake. If it doesn't sparkle, it's probably not the right gift. Okay? Isn't that right? That's right. All right. Attention, then attentiveness. Okay, I'm paying attention to you. Now am I really listening to what you're saying, your likes and your dislikes? And you know as a spouse or you know as a person whether someone has heard you, because then they do what? They act. They act. And guys, your spouses are onto it. Just because you're in the other room, they know you can hear them. Well, okay, some of you are old enough. I take that back. If you're not in the same room, maybe you don't hear them. But this is always true. A person knows you've paid attention and you've been attentive when you act as they speak. You act as they have a need. You act when they have a request. All right, here's what Paul says. Let everyone see that you are considerate towards others in, this is really a hard word, all you do. All I do. Remember, start little. It'll grow. Don't push back on the idea, well, look, I know I can't do it all the time, so why should I try? Because you gotta live with them. We gotta live with you. So we want you to change, even if it's just a little bit, because over time it multiplies. It multiplies. So you might not be considerate in all you do, but be considerate in everything you can do. One day at a time. Number two, Peter says that we're to honor other people, honor our spouse, and I've defined that for us. What does that really mean? It means to respect and value someone else. To respect and value someone else. You must give honor, show honor to your wives or to others. Now, how do you do that? What do you mean show honor or respect or value to someone else? I can tell you how you do it. Number one, you're engaged enough with a relationship with that person that you want to spend time with them. You want to spend time with them. In this day and age, you schedule time with that person. Some marriages, everybody's moving fast. You got to schedule some time to be together. When you're an empty nester, you're trying to schedule time away from your spouse. Really, they're around all the time now. You spend time with them. You are interested in hearing their observations and their suggestions. You're listening to their opinion, to their observation about something. And I know that some people need to use more words when they speak than other people do. And isn't it interesting that two talkers rarely marry each other? Have you noticed that? There's usually one who's the talker and one who's more of a listener. Although everybody can talk pretty well. So as a person gives their opinion and their observations, what do? We try to stay encouraging, supportive, and affirming of them. Encouraging words and actions, supportive words and actions, affirming words and actions, and you idiot is not one of those phrases. Right? Taste those words before they go out of your mouth, because if they're not sweet, it's gonna be sour when you have to eat those words later. Ultimately, what you want to do is celebrate that person. And they might be very different than you, but how do you celebrate their difference? What are they really good at? Why are you in relationship with them? And maybe you got forced together. Maybe, okay, the others I'm talking about are those in your small group. Ooh. I wasn't thinking of that, Pastor. Well, think about it for a minute. They may be very different than you. Can you celebrate their differences? Celebrate the different person that they are. And if you can do all those four things, I can tell you what, you are trying to honor that other person. You are showing them respect and value. Peter says one more thing. Being unselfish is very helpful, because you will then act on behalf of someone else. You will act on behalf of someone else. Do what is right. Live without fear of what your husband or others might do. And the point he's making is when you want to do something right, do it. If you want to do the right thing, do it. Even if somebody else doesn't understand that this is the right thing to do, Or maybe they don't even necessarily approve of that. You do the right thing. The right thing is always the right thing to do. The right thing, when we do it, is never the wrong thing to do. And the point is that we not only do for ourselves and you know, me in mind, but we also serve other people. We also act and do what is right for them, even if it might cost us. And it may very well cost us. But we act on their behalf. Here's what John said. Let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. You know, it's easy to love lovable people. The challenge is that everybody's a peculiar treasure, and you got to get through the peculiar part to get to the treasure. Isn't it true? It's true. Are we all about just loving ourselves, or are we actually interested in loving other people? And if we do, that will take sacrificial love. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. You know, on a good day, I'm not pure. Even on a good day. On a good day, I might not be all that reverent. And again, it's a high mark. It is something to aspire to. And we aspire to that because Jesus' action, his sacrificial action on our behalf, was pure, holy, reverent. He did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He gave his life, even knowing that we would be, well, selfish at times, preoccupied at times, in a bad mood from time to time. He was perfect, and even though we're not perfect, at least not yet, he looked at some very imperfect people around the table, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And in the same way, he took the cup and he poured it out. And he said, "This is my blood that I willingly shed for you." And it's true that the mark of sacrificial service set by Jesus is a very high mark. It becomes a mark that I believe is very inspiring. And there we need to start with ourselves. Because Jesus died so that the whole world would know, but he died so that we would know, so that we would be included. He calls out of the whole world, he calls our name to be in relationship with him. And as we sang and as I prayed, he wrote an awful lot down way before you ever knew God was after you. And what I love about God is then we have that moment where we realize this is no accident. God had a plan that included me. And that plan goes all the way back to this meal. It goes to the foot of the cross. And thank you, Jesus, it goes to an open tomb. Well, that's an inspiring sacrificial service to me. And it keeps pushing me out of my selfishness. It keeps forcing me to see that I'm still on the grow. I'm farther along than many of you, but I'm still on the grow. God loves us when we're on the grow. He loves us as we're moving from 3 to 4s, from 1 to 2s. Some of us are moving from some minus numbers to a plus number, and that's a great victory. It is one day at a time. And honestly, God wouldn't have it any other way, because He wants us to stay engaged with Him. He wants us to be positioned so that we can continue to hear the Holy Spirit whisper to us the next place of change of attitude, of thinking, of behavior to us. And he does want to shape and mold us, but as He does that, He's shaping and molding everyone around us. And both of those elements are illustrated in this meal. Each of us has to come forward and receive the elements, but we're all in this together. In fact, perhaps the person that's had one of the biggest impacts on your life might be somebody else that's a part of this church, part of your small group, part of your prayer group. One of the people you go out and have breakfast with. Because the people that have the greatest impact on us are those that know us well or see something in us. And Jesus knows us very well. And He sees all of our life in a moment. And yes, he chooses you. He chooses me. As we take communion today, take a moment and listen to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to get up to 9 or 10. Just start with a 2 today, a 3 today. What is the Holy Spirit whispering to you about your selfishness? Where can we understand someone around us better? Where do we need to respect and honor, value someone more around us? Who might we act on the behalf of? Who's around us? Take a few moments to pray, and then in this service, the way that we receive communion is to come forward. There'll be servers on each side. You can pick up the elements, head to the back of the room, and then back to your seats and take them. If you're unable to come forward, you just prefer not to do that today, if you raise your hand, one of the deacons will bring the elements to you. It's gluten-free bread, and it is just grape juice. So our hope is that will not prevent anyone from participating in the Lord's Supper, in this very holy communion. It is the Eucharist. It took the body and the blood of Jesus Christ to give us a real freedom, a freedom to be unselfish each and every day. Let us continue to worship God as we celebrate communion.